Alright, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Come on! This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Wildcat Golf Club on Almeda, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? From a absolutely fabulous day in Houston, Texas, we are broadcasting live from the Wildcat Golf Club off Almeda, where the Pete Rose Golf Gala is taking place. It's a two-day extravaganza, but it is fantastic. The weather is perfect. The golfers are getting ready to take the course, and Barry and I are on site. Nick is back at the studio. Tyler is here touching all the buttons and flipping levers, and we're happy to be here.
Stuff. He's touching certain things.
Well, he's going to do that in a second.
I just want to start off the show by saying that I hope that the bird that is perched above your head poops at some point before he flies away.
Oh, I see him.
Yeah.
That's right. I hope all these beehives above you are full.
Oh, my God. Are there beehives?
Oh,
I'm
there's
out.
One there and there.
I'm out.
Yep.
No.
That's called karma, bitch. That's what that is.
I'm done. I'll be doing this show from the truck. I'll be calling in from the truck. That is crazy. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, so you watched the Strohs last night?
Yeah, I did. Did you turn me down? What's going on, Tyler? Why'd you turn me down? No, I'm not yelling. I'm good. Now I can't hear anything. This is live radio. Roger. Yeah, I watched the
show. I'm going to let you guys work this out. We'll get back to the show.
Did you?
I did.
Okay.
I did. I thought, well, I'll tell you what, for all the concerns about McCullers, kid just keeps putting together performances. Just, but I can't explain the home road thing. I know the road thing is getting better,
mm-hmm.
but boy, he is just a different pitcher at home.
Just cross your fingers that he stays healthy.
I know.
That's the whole key to this.
Well, then if you're going to jinx that, we might as well talk about the Colorado Rockies, too. Because I don't want to talk about injuries.
I've been saying it, though. I mean, I've said it all year. I said when we started that I think that if he stays healthy and pitches as he's – I think he'll be the ace, and I'm standing by that. As well as Dallas Keuchel is pitching, I think Lance McCullers could be the ace of this staff if he stays healthy.
Wow.
I believe it. So
I just
I'm
think
sticking
that,
with it.
That's a great 1-2 punch to have.
Like you said, no doubt.
In a 7-game series, if you had to see those two guys twice, you'd probably think that your chances are pretty good to be in it to win it till the end. So that's great.
Yeah. Did you? I know you were listening to the interviews and stuff that Sean and John had mm-hmm. on. I was prepping for the fact that we might have those guys on our show before they were pilfered by Sean and John, and rightfully so. It's whatever. I was like, for something in my mind was like, I thought Pete Rose played third base. But then I was like, I don't know. I couldn't nail down what position he played.
So he played third with the Reds. He played first with the Phillies, right?
Here's the thing, though. I was like, I want to say third, and then I remember first.
Yeah.
But he played the outfield, so I had to look up by position. Would you believe that he had 939 games at first,
uh-huh.
673 in left, 634 at third, 628 at second, 589 in right field, and 73 in center?
He played second base
for
that many games?
628 games in over 8 seasons. He had 600 starts at second base. If I would have quizzed you on that, what would you have said? Yeah, third and first.
Third, first, maybe some
outfield spot duty, yeah, right? Yeah. No, he had 1,300 games in the outfield. It blew. I was like, why don't I remember this? I guess, you know, it's one of those things, the further away you get, you know, you have to – I have to make room in my mind for more important stuff.
Well, that's the funny thing. So you say that. You and I talk about all the time as we get older, the memory starts to go a little bit. But Sean was saying in a break – and I was listening to him talk and tell these stories even off the air. His mind is like a steel trap. Sean would bring up a certain incident and say, hey, walk me through what happened there. And he would go, well, you know, it was a 2-1 count. It was a little breeze coming in off the – and I'm like, oh, my God. And Sean goes, no, it's like that with everything. He remembers every detail.
That's crazy.
That's awesome.
Because I couldn't tell you, like, 5 things that happened to me 3 weeks ago. That's why you always see on, like – the police bring in someone for a murder that happened 6 months ago, and they were like, where were you on the night of November 7th? Good luck. You might as well just electrocute me now, because I have no idea what was going on 6 months ago, much less 3 weeks ago. So, yeah, it's pretty crazy that he has that kind of memory.
Yeah.
But that just kind of shows you, you know, how much the mental aspect of baseball, I mean, the fact that he was that locked in and it's all embedded in his brain is crazy. The other stat that stuck out to me, I mean, you know he had a lot of hits. I mean, the 42-56 career hits.
Right.
He also had 3,215 singles, as he said on the show. He played in 3,500 games. He almost averaged a single a game over 24 years. If you took it in context, for 2 years he might have gone hitless. But for the next 22 years, he got a hit every game he played in, essentially. How crazy is
that? I mean, and the thing is, too, when you heard him rattle off that number, you weren't going to look it up to see if he was right or not. Again,
no, you knew he was.
He knew the stats, and I was going to ask you where you are on this because, look, you could talk. The one thing that I thought was refreshing too was he was talking about gambling things, and he was open about that.
Well, but I mean, what good does it do to run from it at this point?
Yeah,
you know, are you acting like it's a? I mean, it's different if you're like, it's different if you're saying like, you know, oh well, let's say a topic that came up, Roger Clemens and steroids. It's different because he's like, you know what? I've spoken with Congress. I've said what I had to say. That's over for me. This issue is over. With Pete Rose, it's not, because he's not in the Hall of Fame, and this becomes an issue. And you know, hats off to him for not running from it.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I was going to ask you, because there's no doubt in my mind as a player and with all the stats and the things we're rattling off that the man belongs in the Hall of Fame. It's already been way too long. You could separate it however way you want it and dissect it however way you want to look at it. What he did as a manager, fine, and you could punish him for that. But he is the greatest hitter in the history of the game.
You think so?
I really do.
See, I would have said the same thing. Because I feel like, one, and this is no knock against Chuck Hustle, he's the one of the greatest to ever play, without a doubt. But I think we get conditioned sometimes to buy into what we're told. Where I do think he was one of the best hitters in the game as far as his approach at the plate and what he did and his hustle and everything else. But where do you think he would fall, say, on the batting average list?
Oh, because I was going to say, I mean, the thing, too, it's always hard is Ted Williams. We never saw him play.
Because remember, he had all the hits, but he also had 14,000 at-bats.
Yeah, he said that, too. I don't know.
He's 173rd. All-time and average, tied with Henry Larkin. Who? Yeah, exactly. So,
what did he average for his career?
302.
Okay, so he's still a 300 hitter.
So 302.9. So he's a 303 hitter. When you look at guys like Ty Cobb, who averaged 366 in 24 years, the same amount that Pete played, it's a vast difference. And now none of us watch Ty Cobb hit,
right?
So you don't have that as a reference. But I think guys that you might have seen hit, like Ted Williams. To me, those, I mean, 344, you don't knock that, you know what I mean? But I'm not, again, it's one of those things, but it's all relative because he produced at the plate.
Yeah.
He just was a victim of the fact that the offenses he was on were so prolific, he got so many at-bats.
Yeah, and you look at it, though, and you look at his approach, and I love the fact that he's working with kids now as part of this, and it's going to be here in Houston, Texas. It's in Katy, and it's almost done. HitKingBaseball.com, but he said he's going to fly in monthly to work with these kids because he just can't stand watching the way kids play the game today, and the fact that they're just not playing it the right way. And the cool thing was, in talking to some of the kids, they're already being taught about having the right approach. You know, going up there with something in your head that you're thinking about, not just going up there and going, I'm going to take some three cuts and see what I can do.
Yeah.
These kids are going up with an approach already, and that's where I think he thought the game out pitch by pitch.
How badass is that? That you can learn from Pete Rose. Dude, like, to me, as far as watching and what he did, and he's a top 15 guy for me, all time.
No question.
Like, that's just so crazy. That's like literally like if Tony Gwynn were to teach you how to hit. That's what it's like.
Yeah.
Insane.
That's what I'm saying. There, you know, no knock on anybody else's camps and academies and everything else.
Yeah.
But if I can put my kid in an academy to learn from Pete Rose, I'm assuring myself he's going to get top-notch instruction.
Doing that.
All right, we got plenty of show to get to. It is a Way Back Wednesday. The category, as picked by you, the listener, well, maybe to some degree.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah, is pre-2000 rock. Who went first? Who's going first? Is it you?
Yeah, Nick, is this my list going first here, bud?
I don't know.
I can barely hear it. Yeah. What is that? What is that, Joel?
It's Robert Plant.
Nope. This is super pre-2000.
Yeah. It's Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Right. Stairway
part,
to Heaven.
But Robert Plant is part of...
Yeah, but it's Led Zeppelin.
Don't know I'm
just telling you
I know who
was.
Robert Plant is, but he said it's Robert Plant.
Hey, so it's a Way Back Wednesday
Robert
here
Plant
in Wildcat.
Solo versus Led Zeppelin.
You said who is it, and I just said who's singing. So we've got Way Back Wednesday. We are here at Wildcat Golf Club. You can join the show, 713-780-ESPN, where you can text us, you can call us, or you can hit us up on Twitter, at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Wildcat Golf Club on Almeda, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
The Usual Suspects doing what we do. Barry and I from Wildcat Golf Club. Nick back at headquarters. Here with you till 4.
On Almeda.
On Almeda, right, Dale?
Not Almeda.
Right, Dale?
Isn't it Almeda?
It's Almeda.
Yeah. Well, yeah. This is what happens when the voice guy is
somewhere in
another
city.
Area code.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would like to... We should send him to... We should try to get a remote on Kirkendall.
And Kiken...
And send it to him. And be like, no, we're not helping you. You're just going to have to...
Wing it.
Figure
Give us
it
a
out.
Couple versions.
Yeah. What's another one that's weird? Wah? Most people say WAF.
No.
WAF. Oh, they're off WAF. What?
Kirkendall is the worst by far, if you just look at the spelling.
You think so? Tyler? Any others you can think of?
I used to actually make fun of people, like, what are you WAFing about? But that I don't know why that is so funny to me. But what's another one?
I don't know. I'm thinking
Bissonnette,
Kirkendall.
Maybe?
No. But, no. Bro, you struggle with Bissonnette?
No. I've never struggled with Bissonnette.
But we're talking about
here.
People from out of town.
People from out of town,
but
yeah.
That's how it looks, like Bissonnette.
Okay, maybe.
Beechnut. Beechnut, maybe.
No, Beechnut.
Oh, my
Beechnut.
God. Next thing you know, Nick's going to
oh
ask,
my God.
Hey, how do you spell that?
Hey, what about
Highway 59?
What about Maine? What about Maine?
What about somebody an out-of-towner,
like,
though?
Maine, hold up. Like, no.
Nick, how do you spell that?
What, Beechnut? B-E-E-C-H-N-U-T?
Fuquay. Fuquay is one.
I thought it was B-I-T-C-H-N-U-T.
Yeah. Whoa.
That's not it?
No.
No?
Fuquay.
All right. Yeah. Fuquay. That's another one. Good Fuquay. Job. I knew Tyler would figure
Nick,
it out.
Spell fart cake.
Did you ever check out that website? I know you did.
I did not.
Okay. You're a liar. I know you got fart cake in the
I mean, I Googled it that one time now. You mentioned it, and that's it. I didn't go back. I didn't circle back to it.
By the way, don't ask why, but I was watching Live with Kelly and Ryan Seacrest the other day, and they had this weirdo actress on. I don't even know her name. Don't really care. And they were like, well, what's something that Ryan needs to know about living in New York? And this stupid ass said, well, it's called Houston Street. Don't ask a New Yorker where Houston Street is. It's called Houston Street. And I was like, see, that's why everyone hates New York. Like, it's not called Houston, Texas. It wasn't Sam Houston. It's Houston.
But it's all
like Rodeo. Nope. It's Rodeo. Get over it, East Coast and West Coast. You're wrong.
So you're from Humble?
No, that one's Humble.
Okay. I see.
That one's Humble.
I see. So that the unwritten rules?
Well, yeah. I mean, duh.
So you're from the UD of Humble?
Yeah, I'm from Humble. That's, yeah.
Okay.
Look, if there was some guy, you know, Bobby Humble, he's not, if he's Bobby Humble, that's how he pronounces his name, right? Look, I'm Bobby Humble, and this is where I'm starting my city, right here.
But Houston is not allowed in Rodeo Drive.
No, because his name wasn't Sam Houston. It was Sam Houston. And so the Sklar brothers, or whoever founded the city, decided that they would name it after Sam Houston, not Sam Houston.
This is going nowhere.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
And the real takeaway is that I watched Live with Regis.
Which
and,
I wanted Nick to jump in there and go, why?
Yeah, I don't. My wife was home that day, all right?
Oh, blame it on her.
And I'm sitting on the couch and we're watching that, and that's where that – that's how that got – I'm not watching that. When she's not home, it's on MLB Network the whole morning, nonstop. Oh, my God, my skirt blew up there. What was that?
So the golfers are on the course. We are out here on a beautiful afternoon at Wildcat Golf Club for the Pete Rose Golf Extravaganza. Well, it's weird because it's for HitKingBaseball.com, which is a new academy in Katy that they're opening up. But the sign out front says it is the Pete Rose Golf Gala.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So Pete Rose is here. Tony Perez is here. If you heard the show previous to us, John and Sean had some great interviews with both of those guys. Mike Morgan, the ex-Major League Baseball pitcher, is out here as well. But it's a two, I think it's a two-day event. Tyler, are you out here tomorrow too? I thought I saw on the sheet that John and
They will be out here, but it's not a two-day event. Tomorrow's event is a different tournament.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And we were talking as we first came on the air about the Strohs. But again, pushing all the right buttons. I mean, I know that Nestor and some of those guys want to get on A.J. Hinch. But, boy, I'll tell you what. McCann goes on the DL with a concussion, and you go tap into an oh-by-the-way pickup in the offseason that just decides to come to the plate and make an impression in his first game in Juan Centeno and just starts sticking from the word go, and McCullers pitches great, and they get themselves another win against a team that's not too damn bad in the Detroit Tigers.
How about the kid getting an intentional walk, though?
Yeah.
And that pissing off Jake Marisnik. I like both of those. But that's a little bit of a hat tip, I guess.
Yeah.
I dug that. But, I mean, the Tigers are right. They're not. They should be better than they
should.
Are.
Yes, they should.
But,
you know, when you got a team like that and you've got some really above average major league players, but it was weird because I was watching the Rangers Tigers game. I think you were too on Sunday night, but the announcers kept saying, these are the two teams that everyone in baseball really would like to see make the postseason and push through because, they've been good for so long. But no one in Houston is, first of all, saying anything positive about wanting to see the Rangers do anything other than fall on their face.
Or the Tigers.
But from the Tigers' perspective,
Connor Hogan, and that's it.
I've always loved Verlander. But you look at that lineup and you look at as long as they've had that group together, if it was going to happen, it would have already been done.
Yeah.
I think they're past that opportunity.
How about the fact that Zimmerman going into the game was 4-2 with a 6+
yeah.
ERA? They were talking about that on the broadcast. How in the hell do you get you've doubled up the loss column at 4-2, but your ERA is over 6. I think it was like 6.3 or 6.5 or something like that. I mean, that's... That's
and they were
crazy.
Talking about the hits per inning he had given up and all the different things. And I was like, God, so someone else has a Mike Fiers.
Yeah.
Like, at least it's not Justin Houston.
But that's their number two, though. Zimmerman is their number two guy.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Talk about one that hasn't worked out. When they got him, they thought that they had added someone that was going to carry them a ways and make you forget about the guys that they had. I see that they just sent down one of their other big pickups, pitchers from – 2 or 3 years ago. I'll look it up for you.
Okay.
But, I mean, again, when we're talking about how good the Tigers were, you talk about when they had Scherzer and Verlander, and, they had the pitching staff was lined up just like the lineup.
Yeah.
And it's past that time. It's just,
I don't care to see. I mean, like they were saying, no. I think actually a lot of people are interested in seeing some of the newer teams like, these up-and-coming teams like the Astros. Make some noise, like the Rockies make some noise. The Nationals, I think, are just so loaded that people want to see what they can do. Are they going to win for a while? Because that team is designed to win for a while, but can they? But from the Astros game, man, a big thing that I was glad to see was that bullpen, again, other than Feliz giving up the two runs, but, Hoyt coming in and pitching another solid inning. I want to continue to see that, man. To me, that's going to be key for this team. I think we know what their starting rotation looks like, and I think we know this team is going to hit. To me, it's the middle part of that bullpen, and even the back end. I don't have a warm fuzzy every time Gregerson or Giles comes in the game. I just don't feel like – it's not like when Billy Wagner came in the game. You were like, that's it. It's over. You know, when you saw Dotel, Lidge, and Wagner,
yeah,
you were like, done. Like, I don't – like, Dotel made me a little nervous, but Lidge and Wagner, when it was those three, you were like, yeah, 8 and 9, no worries. But you don't – I don't get that sense, and I feel like that's still what this team lacks. If there was any weakness, it's the fact that you had a hammer at the end of that bullpen – that you were 99% sure, no matter what, that he was going to come in the game and close that game out. And they're just not there yet. I think Giles can be that guy.
You know how much I worry about Giles.
He's just not there yet. I know.
I worry about Giles. And even Harris last night, I thought the ball that was caught at the warning track by Springer was gone off the bat.
Yeah.
The minute it left the bat, I was like, oh, God, we got a one-run game. And Springer just camped under it. He must have just missed it, caught it at the track. And I was like, thank goodness, because I thought it was going to be a dogfight to the finish because he had just gotten teed up and taken out. But, you know, I'm with you. Those guys are supposed to be the guys, but they don't put the fear. I don't think in anybody in Major League Baseball, the fear of God is in their heart after they get to the sixth inning. You look at the Indians, and everybody says, you know, after the sixth inning, it's lights out. Well, when you can put Miller out there and he does what he does and they have the pen that they have, yeah.
Yeah.
It's legit. I don't think that there's been enough proven with the Astros bullpen that you can honestly say, yeah, it's lights out. As soon as they get past the sixth inning, if they got a lead, it's over.
Yeah, and I started trying to look into it because I know Tony Sipp has had a couple of good outings, and I know that he's looking good. But somebody asked me the other day, list the Astros bullpen in order from bad to good. Or good to bad. And you know, I started with Giles, and I think I had Devinsky second, and I honest to God, I could flip-flop those and not lose a wink of sleep about it. Devinsky might actually be the best arm in that bullpen as far as effectiveness. But at the end of that list, I had Feliz even above Tony Sipp because Tony Sipp still scares me. So I started looking like it won't surprise me if they go out and get a starter, but if they don't also add a left-handed specialist before the trade deadline. So look for that to happen.
Anibal Sanchez is the guy there. One of their big starters for the last couple of years that was optioned to AAA. So the Tigers having some problems with pitching, but the Stros, again, taking the first two, assuring themselves another series win.
Yeah, this year they have not lost back-to-back series.
That's fantastic.
Yep.
All right, so if you want to get in on the show, 713-780-ESPN, where you can text us, you can call us, or you can hit us up on Twitter, as you guys are already starting to do. The usual suspects are teeing it up for us on Twitter, thanks to the usual suspects. We are here at Wildcat Golf Club off Alameda, in Houston, Texas, at Wildcat Golf Club, as part of the Pete Rose Golf Gala Extravaganza, part of HitKingBaseball.com in Katy, Texas. We'll be back with more ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Wildcat Golf Club on Alameda. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra. I'll be here till the end of time.
Joel, Barry, and Tyler. Nice having Tyler on the road.
Word.
As we are here at Wildcat Golf Club, and Nick is in a spelling bee with himself at the station on a way back Wednesday. Barry with hour number one with a Rock Tunes pre-2000 list that has The Clash playing right now. No, I'm not going to tell you the lead singer. So we talked some baseball.
Don't ask me because I don't know either.
I've got no shot at that.
Bobby Clash. I don't know.
Joe Strummer.
Is it? How do you know that?
Because
he's a weirdo.
An icon.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he really?
He died. Yes. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
If I don't know his name, is he really an icon?
No, wait a minute. Okay. Is he in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, or is The Clash in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I think both, actually.
I think that's worth looking up, but I think Barry's just the guy to do it.
Either way, I think you overestimated the amount of honor I care about that.
I think it would just be The Clash.
He was honored posthumously.
Okay.
Okay. Or posthumously?
Whatever.
Is that like Houston?
That's another one.
Yeah, it's like Houston. All right. So Jerry wants to get in here and talk about Houston. Jerry, what's up?
Yeah. So before I was creeping on Barry doing boo boo, I used to live in New York, and it's actually not named after Sam Houston. It's William Houston, He was like the lawyer for like the Continental Congress. And he it's actually spelled H-O-U-S-E-O-U-N. I don't have no idea why it's like spelled the same way as Houston, but so,
oh, well,
so Barry,
that
everything
O-U-N
revolves around Sammy.
Oh, yeah, well, first of all, yes, it does. In Texas, everything revolves around Sammy Houston. Yes, it does. Second of all,
you
I didn't know it was
mouth.
OUN.
You shut your mouth.
You shut your mouth, Jerry. Hang up on him, Nick. I've had enough of his crap.
Jerry's got to get back to work at True Religion.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Jerry. Dude, he's so funny.
Yeah.
Every time he calls, it's hilarious. Yeah, I didn't know it was OUN. They didn't mention that on the broadcast. They just said it's Houston, not Houston.
Irrelevant details.
Either way, and then, yeah, someone said it was named after a guy in England. Maybe that was Jerry that was texting, but it doesn't matter. If it's spelled like Houston, it's Houston. And then someone corrected me and said something about the city wasn't named after Sam Houston. What?
I don't know.
This is why I don't believe the texters. There's like one texter that I believe.
Somewhere down the dial, I believe there's the usual suspects that talk about natural or world history.
Who?
And research and yeah. development. I was flipping back and forth again, and I really thought that the Cavs were going to have no problem with the Celtics last night.
Uh-huh.
And then flipped over after the Astros got to about the fourth, fifth inning, and Boston's up 12. And I thought, uh-oh.
Because I got a couple of tweets where guys were like, that's it. I'm calling it right now. Cavs lose this series. I was like,
no.
Stop it.
I would have bet.
I think it was Sir Chomps-a-Lot who tweeted me that. I'm like, you are out of
your first
mind.
Response should have been, how much do you want to put on that?
Yeah, I said, stop it. No, that's not going to happen.
No way.
Yeah.
So, but again, Kyrie Irving. So, again, the LeBron haters are coming out of the woodwork because he has the bad game in Game 3, and then Kyrie Irving is the guy that Kevin Love says was special, but he was big, and he put together a huge second half. He had it going. The move of the night, unfortunately, happened after the game was pretty much over, but in the final minute when he faked the around-the-back pass and had Crowder just completely twisted out of his jock for the layup. But you're like, you know what? You forget. I've always said he has the best handles in the game, but that's a pretty solid 1-2 punch when he gets going with LeBron. And then when Love's making his threes, you know, they like I said, they're playing great. The big thing for me is going to be their supporting cast. Because you don't know from night to night, is J.R. Smith, Shumpert, Richard Jefferson, are those guys going to show up?
Yeah.
Because they can either be really, really good or they can crap the bed in a heartbeat.
Well, the good thing is like you said, you know, Kyrie Irving had 42 points. LeBron adds 34 and gets outshined by Kyrie. But even Kevin Love with his 17, you know, the highest scorer for the Celtics was Bradley with 19.
Yep.
So the Celtics obviously are just outgunned. They're outmatched. When the third leading scorer is only 2 points behind their leading scorer, that's not a good recipe.
Right.
Now, that said, they're going to need that against the Warriors. I mean, I think they're going to have a game like that, plus Kevin Love scoring 20 to beat the Warriors. But I think we're just delaying the inevitable. That one win was good.
No question.
Good for Boston's heart. Good for them, you know. But I think it's just delaying the inevitable.
Well, and I'll say this.
Do they close it out?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. I think
on the 25th.
And I'll tell you exactly why. And it's just like everything else that's motivated LeBron this whole season. It has nothing to do with the Celtics. It has everything to do with the fact that he keeps looking over his shoulder and goes, well, now Golden State's sitting there for 9 straight days. They're resting up. They're focused completely on us. We still have to worry about the Celtics. It's time to get this done behind us. Let's get the party started. So I think that's the motivation. I think that's why they'll close it out in 5, and then we'll get what everybody knew from the start of the season on was going to happen, unless you're a Kool-Aid drinking Rockets fan, that it's going to be the Warriors and the Cavs for the third straight year. The thing that I was getting to with the Love, Kyrie, LeBron thing is the fact that the supporting cast for the Cavs, you just don't know. You don't know from night to night. Now, you can go with Curry, KD, and then take your pick, but you still got another quote-unquote superstar coming behind them. So if you say Green, you got Klay Thompson. If you say Klay Thompson, and we said Thompson hasn't been playing great, but you have those four guys, and then you still have a guy that you can count on in Livingston who knows his role but comes to play every single night. And yes, their bench isn't as deep as it's been in the past. They haven't done what the Cavs did and pulled some veterans like Deron Williams, guys like that. But overall, yeah, you just know that you know what you're getting with the Warriors. I think every single night there's still some question marks on what you're going to get out of the reserve from the Cavs.
It makes sense. And you know, and you think about that. They need Kyle Korver. yep. to beat Kyle Korver.
Sure.
They've got if they could get 15 a night from him from behind the 3-point line, they can beat the Warriors. But that's the key. I mean, you know that Kyrie Irving and Love and James, you know what they're going to do. But yeah, you're exactly right. It's the rest. It's that supporting cast. It's that bench. Kyle Korver played 20 minutes and didn't score against the Celtics. If that happens against the Warriors, it's not going to be pretty.
No.
I mean, you can't do that because you know what the Warriors bench is going to put up.
I think that's my point leading into the finals that I just want people to kind of latch on to. Everything has to be clicking on all cylinders for the Cavs to really be primed to win the title. Whereas the Warriors can have some, look at what the Warriors can deal with Klay Thompson averaging 13 points a game over his last five with only one game in the 20s, and they could still beat teams by 20 points. So that's what there's not enough wiggle room for the Cavs if your name isn't Kyrie, LeBron, or Kevin Love.
Yeah.
Whereas the Warriors can still backfill with a bunch of guys and keep bringing them at you to where, like we said, no deficit is ever too much for them because of the fact that they're loaded offensively and they play better D than most. Popovich even said that he thinks they're the best defensive team in the league.
Do you believe that?
I think they're close athletically, but I think that you can find a few that are better. Honestly.
Spurs and Jazz.
Spurs, yeah. Jazz, Boston during the regular season was really stingy. Look, when people always look at guys like Kevin Durant and say, well, he's just offensive. And they don't realize with his wingspan, with his length, with his athleticism to be able to close out on shooters, Klay Thompson, one of the best one-on-one defenders in the league. Draymond is Draymond. He's up there for Defensive Player of the Year every year because of that. And Pachulia holds his own because all he's got to do is put a body on folks,
or
box
a foot
out
up under you.
Or trip your ass up and sprain an ankle.
Here's an interesting question. This is on the text line. If you're Boston, do you keep the first pick and load up for the post-LeBron era, or do you trade it for a legit star?
I'm trading it for either Jimmy Butler, Paul George, or someone else that fits that mold. Because by the time that the young kids that they're going to get in this year's and next year's drafts are ready, you're going to see the downslide of Isaiah Thomas and Al Horford and guys that you already have in place. I think their time is now. They realize now how much ground they have to make up. And I think a guy like that, especially a special wing player, that can go one-on-one and get you buckets, is exactly what they need. They've got a big in Horford. They got a legit guy that can carry the load in Thomas. And they've got some defenders. But I think they need a small forward, a wing player, that can create, can defend, and either Paul George or Jimmy Butler, I would give up the number one pick in a heartbeat and a package to get him.
Okay.
Do you?
Now, yeah, I would too. I don't think a young guy is going to help you as much with this right now. Long term, yeah. But you mentioned Paul George, Jimmy Butler. Is it even close in your mind?
If between the two, I'd take Paul George.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it wouldn't even be close. There's no doubt that I'd go Paul George.
And it's not that Jimmy Butler is a bad player.
No.
He's a really good two-way player, but between the two of them, I would take Paul George.
Okay. I'm just making sure, because you mentioned Jimmy Butler first, and I thought, well, maybe that's the order you had them ranked.
No,
okay.
Just throwing them both out there. I would take either one of those guys in exchange for the number one pick.
All right.
All right, so we got plenty more show to get to. We've got a Way Back Wednesday plan with Barry's hits here in the rock era pre-2000, now we're number one, and we'll take your calls, texts, and phone calls as well. We are the usual suspects at CSPN 97.5.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Wildcat Golf Club on Almeda, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here's a scary thing. You know how many people don't know who Def Leppard is?
Yeah.
That's one of my all-time favorite bands.
It's crazy.
And even my wife and her brother.
Don't you say.
Like, Def Leppard. I'm like,
really?
Are you kidding me?
I've got a great Def Leppard joke if you want to hear it.
Sure.
What has
this is about one arm? I'm gonna gong you, though.
No, it's about seven.
Okay.
What has seven arms and sucks?
Def Leppard.
Def Leppard.
Wow.
All right. I like it.
Because it tricks you. Because you think it might be a weird octopus.
I like it. I like it. I'll allow it. snap on Twitter and say, hey, I just got here, Barry. What did I miss? Oh, nothing. Nah. Just Pete freaking Rose. No big deal.
Right.
Just, you know, one of the greatest of all times. That's all you missed.
Tony Perez.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize that Tony Perez is in the Hall of Fame. Now, let me ask you this, because this is a comment Sean made on the air, and I started trying to calculate, and I knew you would be good at that kind of stuff. But he said Tony Perez top 10, did you say top 10, Tyler, or top 15 first baseman of all time?
What would I say?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No. What did Sean say? Sean said either top 10 or top 15. I'm sitting there
big
going,
top
well,
10.
I'm like, well, there's Rod Carew.
Yeah.
There's, you know, and I'm trying to think of the first baseman from even, I don't know where Chris Chambliss ranks.
But he played third as well.
Yeah.
He wasn't a
once you gave those numbers,
baseman.
Then it really kind of legitimized the fact that I'm like, yeah, you can't kind of just pigeonhole him as a first.
Yeah, he played 1,700 games.
No, I'm talking about Tony Perez.
Yeah, he played 1,778 games at first and like 750 at third.
Okay.
So he had another 700. I mean, you know, it's not
primarily
not
a first
the
baseman.
Same.
Yeah,
primarily a first baseman, but he played third base as well. But I don't know. I would have to go, I mean, gosh. I think he would be up there for sure.
Top 10 to 15?
Yeah. Yeah, top 15 probably.
Because, boy, I'll tell you what, dead on, though.
For sure, top 15.
You talk about what they were talking about, from rosters start to finish, the Hall of Famers, the quality of talent.
Crazy.
When you look at Cincinnati's baseball team, and their pitching staff doesn't get enough credit for what they had because their offense was so great, but you go around the horn to all nine positions and go, they were stacked.
Yeah. I pulled up a list. I'm just going to read this. It's not one off the top of my head, but we'll see if you agree.
Okay.
We'll start with 10 on this list. You ready?
Yep. These are first basemen?
Yeah, first basemen. So they have 10, David Ortiz. 9, Frank Thomas. 8, Harmon Killebrew. Mm-hmm. 7, Willie McCovey. 6, Hank Greenberg. 5, Miguel Cabrera. 4, Jimmy Fox. 3, Albert Pujols. 2, Stan Musial. And 1, Lou Gehrig. Now, would you put Tony Perez in front of any of those?
No. Although those are a lot of lot more old school than I thought.
I don't know if I would have Frank Thomas in the top 10.
I think David Ortiz is going to be known more as a designated hitter.
Yeah, and I don't. That's why I think you probably have Tony Perez.
What about
the back
Rod
end
Carew?
Of that list? Yeah.
Rod Carew played first base, if not all, the majority of his career.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, but if you look at that, like, to me, I would exclude David Ortiz and I would exclude Frank Thomas from that list. Because I think if you're not going to include Jeff Bagwell in that list, Jeff Bagwell and Frank Thomas had literally identical numbers.
Yeah, they did.
The difference was is Jeff Bagwell ran the bases better than Frank Thomas did, and I think he was a better defender in the field. I think he played a better first base.
But also that means that
– But at the plate, at least, they were almost identical.
Stats were that whenever we're talking about will he get in to the Hall of Fame, those were the two comparables. They kept
if you let Frank in, you've got to let Bagwell.
Yeah.
But you're
implying that Frank Thomas ran anywhere except for to the fridge.
Yeah. But so I think you have to – I think if you knock – You know, if you're not going to have Bagwell in there, if you exclude Frank Thomas and David Ortiz, then yeah, I could see maybe slide, you know, Perez and, like you said, Carew in there. I would be interested to see what – I thought Carew played somewhere else as well, though.
He played with the Angels and the Twins.
No, in the field. Oh. Was he nothing but first base?
I thought he was nothing but first base and designated hitter, maybe.
Let's see here. Yeah, 1,100 games at first, 1,100 at second.
Carew played second base? Yeah. Oh, he broke in as a second baseman.
Yeah, he played 1,130 a second. So
All right. That's
probably why he's not on that list. But, yeah, so I think you could make a case for putting Tony Perez in the top 10 if you exclude those two guys.
Yeah, because we were talking about it, and Sean even said, when you go around the horn and you look at position by position with Joe Morgan,
Maybe
the best second baseman
Crazy,
of all time.
That infield.
Yeah, and Davey Concepcion at short.
Yeah.
Rose at third, Perez at first, Johnny Bench behind the dish. And then you talk about the outfield with George Foster and Cesar Geronimo, and man.
Legit. Nestor Carmona had a question for us. He said, hey, man, you got to settle a dispute for me and my friends. They all listen to the show with me. Who's better, Rice or Moss?
I don't think I responded,
and he said, please say it on the air. So I was going to get your take first. I've already responded, but I'll get your take first.
I don't think there's any question. It's Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
When you look at statistically, there's a reason why they call him the GOAT. But you look at it when you talk about yards and receptions and touchdowns and everything else, and you can give the ifs, buts, candies, nuts with Randy Moss, but he didn't play long enough.
No.
He didn't come close in any of those categories. Yes, he's a Hall of Famer. Yes, he was a special
top 10,
receiver.
Top five,
yeah,
if you want to argue that.
Yeah, but he's not Jerry Rice.
He was 7,000 yards behind Rice. Yeah. Everyone is 7,000 yards behind Rice. That's not even close. Same thing with receptions. It's there's no question. You can debate Montana or Brady. You can debate Jordan and LeBron. You can't debate Jerry Rice versus anyone else.
End of discussion right there. But if you needed one stat to end it, no one's within 7,000 yards of Jerry Rice. End of discussion.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, big plays, sure. Randy Moss was great. Look, would it be different if they won Super Bowls? Maybe, but probably not.
Yeah.
You can't argue with the stats, and there's that big of a gap between those two guys. I don't know how you can even say that's an argument.
So I don't know what your answer was, Nestor, but if you had Jerry Rice, you won. Tell your friends to suck it. They
and
lost.
And then Nestor also said, where's Mark Grace?
No.
Todd Helton?
No.
Fred McGriff?
Fred McGriff.
The crime dog?
G had Fred McGriff on there. No, bro. Fred McGriff was a serviceable first baseman.
Steve Garvey?
I'm thinking of
teams from back in that era. Garvey was a legit first baseman.
But he played somewhere else too, though.
This is going to be where else did he play Wednesday? Yeah.
Well, I'm just trying to think of like, because, I mean, Bagwell didn't play anywhere else. He was a third baseman in the minors, but when he came up, he played first base.
Would you really put Pujols
that far
up the list, though?
Yeah, his numbers are just
they're
his Cardinals ungodly. Numbers alone.
Yeah.
He sucks as an Angel, but it's not his fault he signed a 10-year deal.
I said last week his numbers with the Angels have just fallen off the table, but just simply all of his numbers with the Cardinals put him in that discussion.
Just that beginning, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So we could look at it, but if you guys have first baseman you want to throw out there, but make sure you also identify the other position that they played so that we don't have to do a whole lot of research.
Yeah, right, because I'm tired of looking all this
up. Man.
Is that what to say? Huh, maybe. Josh Rabb wants to know if we're playing golf. No, I'm not. I'm going to the Astros game. I'm going to cover the Astros tonight, so I'm leaving here. And I'm going early because it's Dollar Hot Dog Night, and Daddy is going to eat about $20 worth of hot dogs.
Oh, it's cheat night tonight?
Oh, probably not. I'll be honest with you. I'm making such good progress.
Yeah?
I mean, I am killing it.
That's from your tingling powder?
I think some of it. So I started taking CLA. And I started taking these BCAAs that have the beta-alanine in it and all this other stuff. And I think that with getting on a better workout program and then getting back on my diet, I'm still doing Weight Watchers. I had stopped. I was just eating healthy.
Uh-huh.
But I went back to the points because it was so effective. And I've already lost 3 pounds this week since Monday.
Just eat the dogs without the bun. No carbs.
Just shoving weenies in my mouth, huh?
Nick is anywhere near you and he doesn't get a picture of that, there's something fiercely wrong with this show.
I'm not going to lie. I said I'm going to eat two.
Just find a dark corner in Minute Maid.
No.
And just
suck
them down.
I need to Google how many points are in a hot dog with mustard and onions, and then that'll determine how many I can have.
Just don't eat the bun. Don't eat the bun.
You should be more worried about how many testicles and other things are in them instead of how many.
There is pig butthole and other things in there.
Yeah.
Everything
from the rooter to the tooter, buddy.
It's all right. I'll still eat them. I don't care. Hot dogs are delicious. Mm. You're not a hot dog fan, huh, Joel?
I told you. Ever since I went on the field trip when I was a kid to the Usinger sausage plant in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and they did not shield from the children every bit that was not going to waste going into hot dogs of the pig. Mm-mm. No, I'll pass. Not going to do it. Plenty of other options. Now you get me a tub of that fresh popcorn and I'll knock it out. But
yeah,
not a big hot dog guy.
Okay. That hot dog, that causes swelling, though.
You don't just roll into the media room and get better food than that?
Not on Dollar Hot Dog Night. I can go in there and eat for $3. That media dinner's like $9.
It's like $8. It's unlimited.
Here,
it's unlimited, it's and you can
bucks.
Go back later in the day. Is it 12 now?
Yeah, it was 12 on
opening
day.
Oh, that's right.
Day.
It is 12. Yeah.
But they were serving like prime rib or something.
No, they still get fancy with it.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, why do that when I can go get 3 hot dogs?
Okay.
I'm not.
You're being resourceful and economically frugal.
Yeah, I'm on a radio and comedy diet.
Okay.
I'm broke.
Nick, what are you doing?
That's the life
you going
I live.
With the hot dogs?
Do you
or going with the media food?
Air here?
Excuse me, sir. Where can I find your?
I'm not a hot dog dude, so no. I will.
Oh,
not
that's right. I forgot. Okay, so yeah,
so
make
any hot.
So you're not going to eat hot dogs with me?
Nope, I will not.
All right. This was a good one. Somebody asked, "What about Eddie Murray?" on that first
he
base.
He should be on that list.
He should be top 10. You are correct, Texter, sir.
Switch hitter, too.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And he did play other positions, but mostly first base.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, so we're one in the books, two to go. Plenty more show from Wildcat Golf Club right out here off Alameda in Houston, Texas for the Pete Rose Golf Tournament, part of HitKingBaseball.com. If you've got a kid playing baseball and you want him to get the best instruction anywhere, how about instruction from Pete Rose? He's going to be here once a month stopping in. HitKingBaseball.com in Katy, Texas. It's Barry, it's Joel, it's Tyler. We are at Wildcat. Nick is back at the studio. It's the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.